Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White Dove Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome back to the FemNation podcast. Today, we have Kay Fabella. She's a story finder and visibility strategist for underrepresented leaders. I want to focus on that for a minute because that is a strong statement. So first off, thank you for being here, Kay.
Thank you so much for having me.
And tell me, I hope we get to hear, I'm sure we'll get to hear where that came from, but let's start with where your entrepreneurial journey began.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess we'll take it back to my, chapter one, chapter
yes.
four. So a lot of people usually ask me, like, how did you get into, like, why are you so passionate about stories? Why are you so passionate about storytelling? Because that's the main vehicle that I use to help people become visible. But it started back from when I was growing up in Los Angeles, California. And like many people who have, we'll say, non-European looking faces, mm-hmm. Or faces that you just don't really know where to place, you'll always get the second question. The first question being, where are you from? And the second question being, no, where are you really from? And I remember as a kid, very vividly, that used to frustrate me, because the last thing you want when you're a kid trying to fit in is to have people call you out on what makes you different. And I remember it was probably when I was around seven that I knew that I had a choice, because this was a question that was going to follow me for my entire life. It still does.
Sure.
But I remember I could either continue to clench my fists or open my hands and use it as an opportunity to connect with the person in front of me instead of getting defensive. And I remember the first time I tried it, I said, well, I'm really from California, but my parents are Filipino immigrants who came to this country for a better life for me and my younger sister. And California is where I call home. I live down the street. Next question, or something along those lines. But I remember that person who was in front of me had an opportunity to ask follow-up questions to share their story with me. And I managed to expand their worldview simply by showing up as I was. And that power of stories to connect people individually and expand worldviews never left me. And it was a story, you know, it was a power that I tapped into as I then, you know, moved from California to the East Coast, studied abroad different places, eventually landed here in Madrid, Spain, where I'm recording this podcast from with you today, and where I've been now for 9.5 years at the time of this recording. And it's something that eventually, when it came time to start my business, when it was about 5.5 years ago now, I realized that the very same skill that I developed my entire life, which was storytelling, was what many brands and businesses were struggling to leverage to connect with their audiences. This was kind of at the start of inbound marketing, when people were realizing, like, oh, I can't just kind of broadcast ads at people anymore. I have to actually engage with them and get them excited, connect with them emotionally. And that was where my zone of genius was. And so that's how I started my business. And I think that I particularly had a really cool in, because I was a native English speaker. I was from the US, where storytelling was starting to take off, or messaging, visibility, and all of those things. And I remember going to a offline course with a marketing influencer in Spanish, because I figured, well, I'm starting my business, I should probably learn what people here in Spain are saying and talking about these things, so I have the vocabulary for if I have a Spanish-speaking client, not actively trying to seek them out. And I remember afterwards, I went up to the instructor and I said to her, like, oh, I really loved the workshop. Thank you so much. She's like, oh, where are you from? What do you do? And I said, well, I'm a storyteller and I help companies with blah, 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 blah. And I gave her my pitch. And She was like, listen, I don't normally do this. Actually, I haven't ever done this before, but no one has written about storytelling in the Spanish-speaking world. And I have a blog with quite a few readers. So if you'd like to do a series of guest posts, I would be happy to have you. And I was floored. I was like, oh my gosh. I remember even like messaging her on WhatsApp before I sent her the post. And I said, how do I translate storytelling into Spanish? And she's like, no, keep it as storytelling. It's fine. Then you can define it in your posts and it'll be all good. And so I remember sending those posts across and kind of sitting there thinking, okay, it's done. First, you know, major test of, oh, now I know how to talk about what I do in Spanish off and out in the world. What I didn't realize was one, that it would crash my site, which had nothing in Spanish on it at the time. Wow. And two, that those posts positioned me eventually as a Spanish speaking world guru on storytelling.
Oh my goodness.
For entrepreneurs and businesses. And you were like, huh, I should probably do some updating on my website. And so I've since obviously stepped away from my Spanish speaking brand. I do take on occasional Spanish speaking clients, but I realized if I, as a non-native Spanish speaker, living in another country, regularly saying things wrong in Spanglish with my now husband and my clients occasionally and whatever, was able to grow her audience to 27 countries in her second language, how can I do that organically for other people whose stories really need to be heard? And so that's what I've really started to focus on now moving forward. And especially for, like I said, underrepresented groups, which I know we'll talk about in a second, because there are a lot of stories that I don't think are being reflected as often, even though they're just as powerful and important to share. So yeah, that's how I got to where I am.
That's amazing. And knowing the depth of what you do with storytelling, because storytelling has gained popularity for sure in the last, I'd say, 18 months. So you're ahead of the curve. That's awesome. But it's interesting to hear your perspective on why it's important and what you've built behind the stories, because there are marginalized and minority groups out there that don't know how to share their stories. So it's very important. Tell me about that.
Yeah, for sure. So I remember, it's funny because I don't think I had a realization until very recently, because obviously as somebody in the online space, but in a country where I'm not operating on my first language, I sought out a lot of, you know, different membership sites or, you know, podcasts that I could listen to. I clearly love them. Here I am.
Thank you.
Or different books, and I consumed a bunch of different content. And it wasn't until I called myself out on this earlier this year in a post where I realized the first 10 people that came to mind as recommendations for even just online coaches were non-minority women. And it wasn't because I was purposefully doing that. It's just that was the content that I was consuming. I was like, oh, how can I, you know, say that as a woman of color, a daughter of immigrants and now an immigrant herself, that I'm trying to level the playing field, so to speak, for these stories that I don't hear as much if I'm not even consuming that content actively myself. And so I remember writing that post, and thankfully since then, you know, that kind of call of like, how do I help, you know, what can I do better? How do I connect with more people who are in situations like me or who want their stories heard, who don't see themselves represented? How can I help you? And that changed my client roster to, I want to say right now it's like 60% minority and 40% non-minority, which is powerful because it really is just, you know, people are looking for, you know, that flag to be waved, to be like, oh, that's where I want to hang out. That's the banner I want to fly under. And I think that was a really important lesson for me that I then have been sharing with my clients, that it's not about you looking for somebody else who looks like you or loves like you or lives like you to give you permission to show up. It's about if you see that you're not represented currently, you can be the first for that entire group of people simply by showing up and sharing your story. And how much our world in general is craving diversity, inclusion, different stories from different groups, because it just adds the vocabulary, the collective vocabulary that we have to how we can talk about you know, starting our businesses or growing our audiences or even just leading for our different communities or our causes. And those different perspectives are super powerful because it just adds more voices to the table that maybe weren't there before.
Right. That's deep. For real, you know, and I'm not saying that just for, you know, a lack of any other words, but the fact that that is extremely, extremely deep and will resonate with the listeners for sure, because we, as women entrepreneurs, that's the flag that I fly under as highlighting for women entrepreneurs of everywhere, you know, but women entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs in general. But having a cause, having a reason, having an understanding of why you are called to do what you do is so very, very powerful in the entrepreneurial space and is what sets people apart. So knowing that you stand for the changes and the diversity that you want to see in that world, but hearing you talk about, you know, learning from the people that you're wanting to help, you know, how can you not be practicing what you preach? How could you work with people that didn't fit under that banner? And not that they were bad or anything. That wasn't the thing. That's not the case. But what needs to be known in the entrepreneurial space is that's what sets people apart. That's what sets your business and creates the differentiator between you and who else is doing it, is because your cause is deep. You know, so I so appreciate that. Thank you for, you know, waving that banner and being that person and stepping into it yourself first, you know. So what was the biggest thing, biggest issue that you found when you really stepped into who you were helping and who you were serving with stories? What was the biggest issue that they were had to overcome?
I think that it's... there is, as I'm about to get real nerdy, y'all, as there's a lot of research around kind of what happens when, this is actually back in the 1970s, there was a man who talked about this term called symbolic annihilation, of this idea, and he was talking about women specifically, but this is just as valid for, you know, minorities and underrepresented groups. See, I tripped up over myself.
I still love the word. I love the word, but that's going to be, it's our funny of the day. Word of the day, underrepresented.
Say it 5 times fast. but I remember he was talking about this idea that if you don't see yourself reflected back to you in media, in books, in anywhere where you're looking for an example, especially as a young person growing up, I know that I could relate to this as well, that symbolic annihilation basically means you have no symbols for you to aspire to be. You don't have, you know, any sort of trailblazer that shows you what's possible, because you don't see a reality that mirrors your own reflected back to you. Mm-hmm. And this is just as true for women of all shapes, sizes, and creeds. But it's true. It's especially true for, I know for me, for example, I cried when I saw Crazy Rich Asians. I cried when I saw that opening scene where the Amazons are kicking butt in Wonder Woman on the beach, because I was like, I didn't realize I needed to see women kicking ass this way until right now. And I think that that's when you multiply that by, you know, where you came from, if you happen to be a child of immigrants, because obviously that you have the multicultural lines that you're straddling, if you are from a population or a culture where they don't tend to see, you know, for example, you know, many immigrant kids can relate to this, your parents who came to this country in the US in this case, specifically want you to have better circumstances than they had where they came from. And so the only options that they see as success for you are doctor, lawyer, or disappointment. So imagine what that's like for somebody who is striking out on their own as a business owner and having to fight that internal messaging, or having to fight the internal messaging of, I don't know if there's room for me because I don't see people who look like me. And so I think the more that I engage with this audience, the more that I you know, work with them one-on-one or in a group programs, the more that I even just have coffee chats with people, because I'm always learning. I know I don't have all the answers. This is a larger problem, a larger challenge that more people need to be involved in. But I realized that without this desire for, I lost my train of thought. You can cut that out.
We're not going to.
Whoever's listening. Well, whoever's listening, this is what happens when you have five different thoughts in your head.
So true. I'm playing that juggling game over here on this side of it too. So.
Oh, I know. I can totally hear. I understand completely. As an interviewer, I mean, honestly, what White Dove is doing, you guys, she's rocking it. As somebody who listens to way too many podcasts.
Thank you.
What I was trying to say with that was, I think it's important for us to address those issues openly. I think there is a lot of, there's almost a feeling of walking on eggshells when we talk about, you know, what do underrepresented groups face when it comes to, you know, what they're experiencing. Maybe it's discrimination, maybe it's unconscious bias, maybe it's just, you know, their own sort of bias that they have to get over because it's inherited from their families or their cultures or whatever. But if you silence those voices completely, or there's not a safe space for them to talk about it, you know, in my case with my clients, they know it's a completely safe space with me, then you're robbing them of a part of their identity, really. And that not allowing them to show up as their full selves. And I found this over and over as I've grown my business and as I've helped clients grow theirs, it's doing them a disservice if you're not letting them show up as their full selves. And so I think that's the big challenge is, one, how do we give people a space to actually talk about things that they're facing safely and in a way that allows people to have buy-in and a two-way dialogue, or in many cases, even just a way for you to share something and know that somebody's listening and wants to help you. And two, how do we collectively add our voices or advocate for one another when we see somebody who doesn't have as many opportunities or is not as likely to be picked for, say, an online summit or a conference as a speaker or as a referral even amongst our friends and our biz besties. And I think those are just larger questions moving forward that I'm still trying to answer. And I invite other people to maybe just reflect on for themselves.
Which is needed still in this world in general. Mm-hmm. What is one time that what you do and the service you provide and the lives that you change, what is one scenario or story, you know, obvious details left out, that, you know, privacy details, but that just was amazing to you in your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah. So I worked with a woman here who was and is now my friend as well. And when she came to me 2 years ago, so she is of Colombian and Iranian descent and was an expat here, but had not come here to, like many of us, to teach English or wasn't looking even really to start a business. But once she landed here, you could see that she was just a gifted connector, communicator, community builder. And she came to me to work with me because she was like, I want to do something that allows me to not just monetize, but also to connect with other, she at the time was in her mid-30s and was looking to connect with other solo traveler women or digital nomad women who were in similar situations as her, but almost everyone she could see that was remote workers or even single travelers going abroad were in their early 20s. And there wasn't really as much in terms of life experience you could relate to. It's like, I know there are people like me out there, but how do I find them and how do I connect them? And how do I, you know, do something for them? Because I feel like that's where my heart's being called to. And I remember she keeps saying, she was like, you are the godmother of this movement, because it wouldn't have happened without you. But that call or those series of calls when we worked together ended up turning into a group, which now has, I think in less than a year, it grew to 4,000 members. She was able to create a retreat in Morocco and brought women from all over the world together. They even managed to scatter the ashes, unfortunately, of a woman who was one of their most active first members in the group when they first started, but passed away because of breast cancer. They were able to scatter her ashes there in Morocco as, you know, kind of like a tribute to her as being somebody who also wanted to reinvent her life through travel. And the community of women that she's built around, you know, in such a short amount of time, but from a place of true dedication, and me getting to say that I facilitated that I helped her create an audience for that. I helped her build it organically and actually got her to a place where it's growing on its own because people are so excited to be a part of it. that's probably the coolest thing. And I get to say that it's a woman who she would consider herself an underrepresented person in multiple ways, and not even just because of her cultural background, but because mm-hmm. she was looking for people like her. She was looking for belonging, like, which I think many of us are. Mm-hmm. And I helped her start something, and we grew her audience organically as a side hustle, and now as a full-time thing. So,
and changed her life, changed the lives of the people that she works with and she represents. Yeah. It's a bigger picture. I mean, because it's so connected to such a bigger picture. How do you define success? What is success to you in your business?
Ooh, I would say success for me is, I'm actually looking at, I have like my 8 core things. I have this whiteboard on this side of my computer as I'm looking at. And as long as I hit these 8 categories, which are spirit, finances, self, health, family, relationships, career, fun, and exploration, if I'm able to hit all of those things at, as close as possible to what I want to do to move me forward to get there, mm-hmm. I know I can't do everything, but if I can aspire to having a balance between all of those things, I know I'll be okay.
That's success. Yep. The balance. It is a balance of all those things. And I don't think any one particular time you nail all of them, you know, immediately or altogether, but at the same time, you can raise that level of awareness to see that you're working towards and working on and working in those arenas.
Yeah, for sure.
What works best for you in your business? What is something that you realized over time? Kind of, if I reframed that question, what do you know now that you wish you knew early on?
Yeah, I would say I found when I follow the same advice I give my clients about being bolder in their stances and their messaging and how they want to show up in the world, that's when I've had the most success in terms of the types of people that I get to work with that are excited, like actually excited. I had a call earlier today with a person who said, I bought in before I got on this call to what you offer because of everything I've seen that you talk about and everything that I see that you do. And that power of showing up as your full self, I think is something that I wish that I'd known when I first started out, because I think like with everyone, you're looking for the irony, right? Of going from a 9-to-5 to starting your own thing. Right. You're almost looking for, you know, what's working for other people and, oh, let me try and cobble things together or follow frameworks or formulas. And you realize that doesn't necessarily work for you in your case at your stage of your journey. Mm-hmm. And it's when you double down on your identity and who you are. I think that's when how you show up and the people that you want to attract and the people you want to serve moving forward all align.
Mm-hmm. So you wrote a book, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What is the book?
So it's called Rewrite Your Story, How to Find Who You Are and Thrive After Burnout. It is a memoir meets how-to guide, because I wanted to incorporate some of my stories of recovering from burnout at age 22. But more importantly, I wanted to give people the how. I wanted to give people practices that I've actually tried and tested myself when I was trying to, you know, move away from meds and hospitals and towards a place that felt, you know, better, that I could even define what success was on my terms. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was stepping back and going from a place of being a super high achiever, which is where I was at the start of the book, where I talk about how I called my parents back in California after having cried for 4 hours straight and saying, Mom, Dad, I don't know what's wrong with me. What do I need to do to get help? And how that started a year-long battle with clinical depression. And so I now can say, looking back on that, that was now 10 years ago when everything happened. And looking at the trajectory that I've taken, and I know from the outside looking in, it's like, wow, that's amazing. How did you do that? Like, obviously, you know, you lucked out or whatever people could perceive, I think, looking from the outside in. But in the book, I want to show you that it's a continuous process. I even have one chapter in the book where I basically walk people through, so I'm having this imposter syndrome right now as I'm writing this book to you. On the one hand, I'm thinking that I'm getting really excited about envisioning you as a future reader who has this in their hands. But on the other hand, I'm like, No one's going to care. But hey, I'm here. And just being as transparent as possible in the journey, because I think that there is this, I've realized lately that I have a trigger word around this idea of like, you're so, like, that's so inspiring when they talk about me. And it's like, well, it may be inspiring to you, but that puts me on a pedestal of like, oh, it's out of your reach. But if I show you in the entire stage of the journey and very transparently in this book that it's a constant battle, and it's very appropriate that right behind you is a sign that says, let your faith be bigger than your fear, because that's it. That's all it is day after day. There are days where sometimes fear wins. There are days where, you know, sometimes I'm riding high. And ultimately, it's how do I walk you through this book of not just reclaiming your life after burnout or being at a crossroads in your life where you're like, nothing feels like it's going my way, recovering and rewriting your story to make it actually align with who you are, and use this as an opportunity to get clarity on how you want to move in a place of faith and rather in a place of fear.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is your one trick to snap yourself out of those moments?
I don't know if I have one trick. Depressive states definitely still hit. And I think anyone who is starting a business or has been in business for a while can relate. It's just some days it's just are just harder than others. I would say for me is I have a toolkit now. I talk about 5 of those practices in the book. Of them, you know, probably journaling and meditation are my favorite. Maybe I extend my meditation time to, 40 minutes instead of my normal 20 if I need to. I think it's also knowing who to reach out to in the moment that I feel like things are starting to get dark. I think it's also, you know, even if it feels hard, even if the effort of existing is exhausting, that I have a way to try and quickly reframe it as much as possible or ask for help, because some days you just need a helping hand from whether it's my husband or my biz besties or my girlfriends here in Spain who I'm really lucky to have found, or even just like a good podcast episode.
To reframe your thoughts for a minute. I definitely, as an entrepreneur, I agree with you 100% that there are days that you feel like you're on top of the world and everything seems to just be going right. And the next day can absolutely stink. And you can wake up with feeling heavy, inside, internally, there's just a weight inside. And then, and it's for no particular reason. It wasn't like you got a bad email or, you know, someone said something to you or, you know, snarky or whatever. It wasn't for that. It's just, you can wake up and just be like, gosh, maybe what was I thinking yesterday? You know, why am I riding so high? What is so good about this? I mean, I stink at this. Or, you know, and having those conversations, one of the things that I love the most is getting out and meeting with people. I'm huge networking in real life. I love to network in real life. And in all honesty, the podcast is created because I want to further that connection, you know? And so it feeds my soul to be able to bring yours and every woman entrepreneur's journey to light and bring it to the table for the purpose of giving a stage to have a story on. But it also is a piece of my circle, my tribe, one of the things that I, you know, walk away from podcast interviews just thinking, wow, it's a bigger world out there. Wow. And it's not in the frame of mind that I'm, you know, oh my gosh, I shouldn't, you know, feel sorry for myself because maybe someone isn't as far along or isn't it's none of that. It has nothing to do with that. It's simply that human connection that seems to do something neat. And I believe a lot of people in the online space, we find neat connections in the online space. We find very transparent organic groups. We find those, they do exist. There's a lot of stuff we have to filter through, but they do exist out there. But at the same time, that's then where we find those people that we can lean on, just be like, hey, you know what? Can I have a conversation with you real quick? You know, somebody I've never met before in real life, I've been able to do that with. We've bonded over, you know, just a conversation, or you find your people and it extends past, you know, the circle of in real life that you live in. So as an entrepreneur, knowing that that's something that is very important, but listening to the conversations, seeing the conversations, hearing the conversations, even just getting out and listening to other people have conversations amongst themselves is a breath of fresh air. But there is a depressive side. I don't want to label it as such. Mm-hmm. But there is a piece of that in the entrepreneurial space that exists that I don't think is as prevalent in the job world, in the corporate world.
I think so. It was actually something I shared at a talk I gave recently here in Madrid. I think the hardest lesson that I've had to learn as an entrepreneur, and I think is probably linked the most to when I feel those ups and downs that you mentioned, is separating work from worth. I think those are two really, really critical things to separate as much as possible, or learn to try and separate as much as possible early on in your entrepreneur journey. And it's something I'm still struggling with, because especially when you're the face of your business, it's hard not to take things personally, right? You're putting yourself out there every single day. You are showing up and, you know, putting out the podcast, putting out your blog posts, putting out your newsletters, trying to actively and proactively connect with people who won't just be clients, but also, you know, believers in whatever it is that you are putting out into the world with your offers, with your content, et cetera. And there are days where the internet is a big, wide world. It is. There are days where you're putting things out there and you're like, I just want somebody to, you know, see this. If more people knew about this. Or, hey, there are some days where, you know, I'm perfect example. I had a troll in my inbox 2 days after my book came out. you know, it's like, it's one of those things where you're just like, it could derail you very quickly if you don't have that mindset in place. And so I think it's really important for, and I'm saying this almost like to myself, to listen back to your podcast when it comes out, like, remember, Kay, remember.
Note to self
and everyone who's listening.
That's right.
but your work does not equal your worth. And yes, it's going to suck some days. And yes, it's going to be hard not to take things personally. And yes, it's going to be hard not to filter things through. Like nobody's seeing what I'm throwing out there, nobody's really valuing or, you know, recognizing what it is that I have to give to the world. But I promise you, again, note to self, I promise you, those days that you are maybe not hearing as much engagement or not getting all those discovery calls or whatever it happens to be that you're looking for in terms of success for your business in that given point in time, you have to show up anyway. Mm-hmm. Even when there isn't an audience, even when you don't feel like it. And yes, take time, you know, honor that you're feeling this way, explore that, sit with yourself. But mostly don't try and, you know, how many clients or how much you're earning or whatever barometers of success that you're using to define whether or not you're good as a business owner. None of that has any reflection on who you are as a person. And I think that's an important thing to remember.
That's huge. And I'll be like, I'm going to write myself a note that if I need to listen, I'm going to listen to Kay's interview, because there's some self notes in here, not just for you, for me.
come back to it, everyone. Know that White Dove and I are saying this for ourselves as well, because we're human.
We are. And that's the whole thing is transparency. It is not an easy thing being an entrepreneur, but it is doable.
Yes.
That's the thing. It is doable. You're going to have great days. You're going to have days that you doubt yourself. You're going to have days that you're just like, I own this. And you're going to have days that you're like, I need my tribe. You know, a lot of days you need your tribe. But but the thing is that it can be done. And that's the biggest thing about these interviews, is it's showing that every single woman that comes on here is doing it. And our level of success, I spoke about it in the opening, the very first episode, is that our levels of success ought not to benchmark who we perceive is successful or not successful, because one, we don't know the story and the length of time it took them to get to that piece, but also maybe we don't, you know, we need to be careful that we don't view that someone else isn't successful just because we're measuring by our benchmark of success. So that's why I always come in and kind of ask that question, you know, in different ways inside podcasts, because I want the world to hear that women view success We have our own benchmark of success. And at this particular moment that we record a podcast interview, this is what I view success as. This is what you view success as. And that is successful for you. And we have to honor that, you know, with each other. So success can be many things, not seven. It doesn't need to be seven figures or fancy car or, you know, umbrella drinks or, you know, sitting on the beach. Maybe that's successful for some people. And that is, you know, what they put out there to work towards. But we can own success right where we're at right now. And transparency is my success.
And honestly, it's refreshing.
Right. Yes, we're crushing it. So tell me this, how has the entrepreneurial journey changed you though?
It's funny. As we were talking about this idea of, you know, work and worth just now, and you're like, yes, but it's still possible. There's this reference that Elizabeth Gilbert has in Big Magic of like, is this the shit sandwich that you'll continue to eat every day? And yes, it is. I think, you know, it's been the most intense exercise in personal, professional, spiritual self-development ever that I could possibly have imagined. It's also been the most rewarding and fulfilling because it's helped me challenge things that I know about myself or thought I knew about myself, or, you know, embrace parts of myself that maybe I either pushed to the side or parked or didn't really want to take ownership of. It's helped me connect with people like yourself that mm-hmm. I think that these deeper connections and relationships would not necessarily be possible, that, you know, at least right away. And I think in a traditional space of working 9 to 5 or in an office or even remote working because you're on the go. Mm-hmm. I think that it's been really cool to find my people, I think, in a way that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't chosen to be an entrepreneur. It's helped me figure out what it is that I'm here to offer the world, what my gifts and talents are, and what my superpowers are here to be of service for. And it's helped me be a better, well-rounded person and other aspects of my life. It's bled into, you know, I never thought I would be an author.
Right.
I never thought that I would get to have a team of people in 4 different countries. Yeah. I never thought that I would get to, you know, be featured in, you know, pages of magazines and newspapers that I never thought in a million years that would ever want to feature my story. And those are all these really cool things that I know wouldn't have been possible if I hadn't bet on myself and went all in, this is how can you show up as your full self to the world? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that I've gained from the entrepreneurial journey.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. I love what you do. I do love what you do. I'm also a little jealous that you're in Spain.
Not gonna lie. No, I mean, it's pretty great right now, not gonna lie. It's definitely been fun for whenever people are like, oh, where are you based? I'm like, well, I've got California here on one side, I've got Madrid on the other. And they're like, wait, what?
You threw him a curveball that they didn't see coming.
I did.
So where can we find you? Where can the listeners connect with you?
So I am writing pretty much weekly on my blog at kathabell.com and all things messaging, visibility strategy. And I have a free visibility guide for you if you sign up for my newsletter, and you get all the goodies and probably random thoughts about my kitty coworkers and my adventures in Spanglish. So be on the lookout for that. Or you could head to buy my book if you're recovering from burnout, or if you're looking for your next steps in life and you just want a practical, easy read that you can come back to. One of the people in the early reviews said it's like having a coach on your coffee table. It's pretty amazing. It's at rewriteyourstorybook.com. And yeah, you get to find out a little bit more about my journey and the practices that I've gained along the way that help keep me sane. And more importantly, help me to continue to come back and connect to myself.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Thank you for being on today, Kay.
Thank you so much for having me, White Dove. I love what you do. And I think it's so important that you're highlighting the stories of these women who are all incredible. And so I'm lucky to be amongst them.
Ah, I'm honored that you came on the podcast today. So thank you. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up there because truth be told, I'm going to jam with Kay on the backside of this. No, I'm just joking. We're not going to hold any secrets, I promise. We gave you all the goods. But please check out the show notes so you can find her, connect with her, have a conversation with her, and get the coach on your coffee table. Grab her book. Sounds really neat. And I love reading books. So I have a stack. My husband's like, do you read them all? Yes, I do. So yours is going to be on there. Anyways, wonderful listening today. Wonderful guest. As always, guys, keep moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the Fem Nation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.